You guys have heard me talk many times about how hard it was for me when the board of ministry more or less said, "Hey, Dave, we're not absolutely certain that you were called to the ministry, so go see if you can be content doing something else." I knew I wasn't this fantastic guy, a great charismatic leader, captain of the football team type, but still, that rejection kind of rocked my world. And I didn't feel very good about that board, the group of old men, or about God for a while. But something I talk about a lot less is that, so you may not have ever heard, that a part of me was relieved. I said to myself, okay, I'm going to work with computers. Computers are nice. You might ask why I thought computers, why I was relieved in the midst of that devastation. Well, it's because relationships are hard things. They're even harder if you have an overdeveloped need to please everyone. Relationships, they take time, they take wisdom, they take energy, emotional energy, and computers, you just tell them what to do. You can't hurt their feelings. They never tell you, "I don't like the tone of how you said that." They never say, "You hurt my feelings when." You never have to buy them chocolate. Or flowers. I'll tell you another story about myself. When I was a little kid, my sister and I got in trouble for something. I don't remember what it was, but Mom and her friend were sitting there in the kitchen, and my sister had her turn of being talked to and sent to her room, and then was my turn, and you have to stand there and listen to her whole spiel, whatever it was. You know, "I expect you to do these things. You didn't do it, and I don't like to punish you, but honey, I have to, and you're going to have to go to your room, and I want you to say, do you understand what I'm saying to you?" "Yes, Mom," and stuff. And apparently, I thought something in that case was rather unfair, because as I was dismissed to my room, I got to the door of the kitchen, and I grabbed the door, and I looked back and said, "You old witch!" And I slammed the door as hard as I could and ran for my life to my bedroom. You know, it's funny when kids do things like that. And yet, when you think about relationships, slamming doors, yelling at people, calling names, does that do anything to build up a relationship? No, it doesn't. Today, we're continuing on this road to recovery. And so far, the steps have been, are the reality step. Realize that I'm not God. Admit that I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing and my life is unmanageable. E, the E step, earnestly, hope step. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. Then the letter C, the commitment step, conscientiously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. And then the O step, the coming clean step, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone else. The V step, the change step, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. On this road to recovery, today's step is hard work. It's relational road work. It's doing relational repair work. It's time to repair some of the damage that others have done to us and that we have done to others. So today is brought to you by the letter E for evaluate my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those I've hurt and make amends for harm I have done to others, except when doing so would harm others. And our scripture basis comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. The passage Rick Warren liked was from, I don't have which version it was. But from my Bible, Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Brawling, I hope you guys don't do much brawling. Brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Those two verses are a lot of work, or they can be, for you and for me. But what a blessed thing it is just to do just that. When we get rid of our bitterness, when we get rid of our rage, our anger and malice, and we put on, like a garment, we put on compassion and forgiveness, just as Christ was compassionate and forgave us. Amen? Thank you. So part one, forgive those who hurt me. Why? Why should I have to forgive them? They really hurt me. You know the answer. It's because God forgave me. Over in Colossians 3:13, it says, never hold grudges. Remember the Lord forgave you, and so you must forgive others. So we should never hold grudges. It says that the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. If you've got this step all together, or if you're pretending that you've got this all together, this step might seem like a cakewalk. But if now or sometime in the future, someone truly hurts us, that verse, those words, can be pretty hard. I looked at other translations, and I have to tell you, it looks like it's a command. It doesn't really waver too much in the different translations of the verse. It's not optional, it's a command. And even the Lord himself, in the Lord's Prayer, links forgiveness from God with our forgiveness of others, as he says, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive our debtors. So I need to offer forgiveness because the Lord forgave me. The second point, because resentment doesn't work. You can keep resentment, it can keep you stuck in the past where someone hurt you. Did you ever read Great Expectations or have some nice aunt that read it to you? It's a Charles Dickens story. A lot of us have probably at least seen the long movie. But in that story is Miss Havisham. And she was an old lady who years ago was supposed to get married and got her cake and her dress all set up in her big house. And the guy never showed. And when Pip meets her, he's a little boy and she's this old lady. And there's the cake. It's still in the house. It's rock. The frosting is rock hard and dry. And it's all covered with dust and cobwebs. She had been living in the past all of her life over that being jilted at the altar. It's not good to live. The past is not the right place to live. It's okay to visit. Yeah, that can be fun, but it's not where we should live. Over in the book of Job, Job's friends came to console him or something. They came for some reason. And they assumed that bad things only happen to bad people. And since a lot of bad things had just happened to Job, he lost his family, he lost his livestock, he lost houses, he lost his health. They came, they assumed that he was some terrible, wicked sinner. And their assumption was wrong about why God was allowing this suffering, but not everything they said was wrong. Job's friend Eliphaz said to him in Job 5:2, "To worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish, a senseless thing to do." His friend Bildad said, "You are only hurting yourself with your anger." Rick Warren tells a story about what this one author put in his book, a book about health and stuff. He said, it's not so much what you eat, it's what eats you that matters. Talking about how resentment and bitterness affect our health. There are physical consequences, there are emotional consequences. It can lead to depression, it can lead to additional stress. It can lead to fatigue because nothing seems to drain you emotionally like bitterness. If you or I keep thinking about that person, you know, that former girlfriend or boyfriend, that former husband or wife, that teacher that embarrassed you so much in school, that parent who never told you that they loved you, if we dwell on that all the time, I guess there were some more examples. If you know, the person that you were dating and they dropped you like that with no explanation, you know, it all drains. If we fixate on that, those disappointments, those hurts, it drains us, our bodies, of our energy. It prolongs the hurt. And in a way, it's a kind of emotional suicide. You need to forgive those who hurt you for your own sake. So resentment doesn't work. And third, because even if I'm good with God right now today, it's very likely that as life goes on, there's something else that God's going to have to forgive us for. I need forgiveness in the future. Mark 11:25, it says, "And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." There's that principle again. God says over and over and over that we need to let go of our anger if we want God to forgive us. In theory, that can be an easy thing, but in real life, sometimes it's hard. I've told you before, I was shocked to realize how angry and bitter I was with a relative, a loved one. And I couldn't get rid of it until I shared it with others. And when I did, I grew closer to God. It doesn't say that you can stay angry if it's justified. You only have to give up the unreasonable anger. No, it says, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. Does that mean you can't seek justice? Does that mean evil people can get away scot-free? No. Their punishment might be exactly what they need. But we need to give up our right to be bitter if we want God's forgiveness. So in the future, I'm going to need God's forgiveness, so I'd better forgive others. And how can we do that? Well, the first is reveal my hurt. They suggest make a list of who's harmed me, what they said, what they did, and everything. Do I have to make a list? Well, no, but if you sit down and write it out, you'll more completely work it through and get beyond it better. And the thing about if you write a list on Monday, on Tuesday you might think of something you didn't think of Monday, and you'll add it to the list. And so on. So there's usefulness in doing the list. But be sure to keep that sort of thing private. It's your list of stuff you're that hurt you and you're trying to get over, it's not to be shared as a gossip sheet. Can you guess what the next one is? It's release my offender. How many times did Jesus say Peter had to forgive his brother? Was it 7 times like Peter asked? No, he said 7 times 70. A whole bunch of times. We have to forgive people a lot of times. That's not to say we have to trust them or treat them exactly the same after hurting us. But we have to forgive them. Just release that anger, release that disappointment and hurt. If this was just my ideas, you could just ignore it. Never mind, Dave, I don't want to do that. But it's not just my ideas. It's God's message. Sometimes it wouldn't be right to tell a person face to face that you forgive them, because sometimes they're clueless and talking to them is just going to hurt the situation more. Sometimes they don't need to hear it, and sometimes they do. So ask God for wisdom to know what to do. And then there are times when we can't tell someone about our forgiveness. Maybe they're not talking to us anymore. Maybe they've moved away. They're no longer alive. Maybe it wouldn't be safe to be around them. And sometimes people will use a chair. And they'll imagine the person's there. And they'll tell them everything, you know, that hurt them and stuff. And then they'll say, "But I forgive you." And that helps them get over it. When I was in high school, one day they said, "If you're angry with someone, hit a pillow. Just go home and beat up on a pillow, and pretty soon you won't feel angry anymore." So I tried that. I happened to be angry with somebody at the time, and I went home that day and I beat my pillow until I was hot and sweaty and tired. And you know what? I was just as angry with that person. In fact, because I'd been focusing on it there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, however long it was, I think I was more stirred up and more ready to really go out there and punch them. It didn't work. So, I say, be kind to your pillows. Forgive your enemies instead of pretending to beat them up. Third step, replace my hurts with God's peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Colossians 3:15. If that sounds to me like some time of prayer, though, music, Bible reading, or listening to you know, it on audio could be a lot of that too. But the second part of dealing with hurts is those that I've caused. Why would you want to do that? Well, it's the right thing to do. It's what you or I would want others to do. Here's another reason. So that no root of bitterness grows up in your family or grows up in your workplace. No root of bitterness grows up in your church or other place. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Watch out that no bitterness takes root. For as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives." And how do I do it? Well, how about you can make a list of those people that you've harmed. So, on your list, you think of who you hurt, who and how you hurt them. You know, is it debt? Do you owe somebody money? Can you do anything about it now? Is it broken promises? Can you make amends or at least say you're sorry? Were you over-controlling, over-possessive, hypercritical, abusive in any way? Or just forgetting? You know, You said you'd be there a certain time and you never remember or whatever. Unfaithfulness, lying, you know, make your list. 2, think how you would like others to make amends to you. And Luke 6:31, do to others as you would have them do to you. And then you pick the right time. There's a right time and a right way to do everything. That is actually a verse, Ecclesiastes 8:6, from the Good News Bible. In seeking someone's forgiveness, we need to be sensitive to avoiding causing them problems. Yeah. I wanted to find my birth father, and I tried to be discreet, but I blew it. I happened to talk to the son before I talked to the father, and it was kind of, as soon as I was done talking to the son, he called his dad and said, "Dad, what's up?" You know, and he felt at that point like he had to explain. And that was too bad. You'll be sensitive about how you do something like that. You need to do it with the right attitude. We, of course, all can think of children only apologizing because you made them. "I'm sorry that I hit you. You deserved it, but I had to say I'm sorry." You know, we need to do it with the right attitude. Hopefully, as we insist on that with kids, they get to the point where they can do it with the right attitude too. Is it appropriate? Thoughtless words, this is a proverb, thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. Amen. Amen. And that was Proverbs 12:12, and then Romans 12:12. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. And 3rd, after making a list of the people I hurt, after thinking how I would like to be treated, and using that as a guide to how I apologize to others, after you do all of that, 3rd point is to refocus my life. Zophar was Job's other friend. I think he just had 3 that visited him. Zophar, he said to Job, "Put your heart right, reach out to God, then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more." That's Job 11:13-16. So after taking this step, face the world again. You don't withdraw. You don't hide in a shell. You resume living. You take chances. You say, "I'm not a victim anymore." You start looking ahead. And notice what happens when you do these steps. Then all your troubles, referring back to the verse, will fade from your memory. The memory will fade away. Wouldn't you like to be free from all that relationship garbage? That's the purpose of step 6, and I challenge you to take it with me today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are with us always, that you've been here with us this hour. I don't know people's relationships or needs, but you do. And I pray that as you've spoken to our hearts, you've given the love, the joy, the power, the conviction for us to make amends. And help us to do that and enjoy the freedom that comes from that. In Jesus' precious name, amen.